Father, we first want to just tell you we love you with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our spirit, all our energies, Lord, and everything that we have within us. And so, Father, we just commit our love back to you. And you said that hereby you know that we love you, that we obey your word. And so, Father, we want to put your word before everything that we do, everything we say, everything we talk about, Lord. And so we just, at this time, Father, commit this service into your hands. We pray that you would help us, O God, to understand that you are here through the journey with us. Your presence is still here. 79 of the 84 things that your presence was to bring forth have already taken place. So we have our eyes on the God who is the I am, not the I will be. And so, Father, we just commit our day and our actions, our worship, and your word back to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I think of those words that Brother Branham said to Brother Vail. He said, if the church only sees it in the past tense, he said there's no hope for the church. They've got to see the word in the present tense. And I want you to think about this now. What did God say when Moses said, who shall I tell him that you are? What did he say? I what? I am. I am that I am. In other words, if you have eternal life, it's not looking backwards and it's not looking forwards. When you're living in the eternal, you're living in the present. I am that I am. When Enoch walked with God, he didn't walk and say, you know, Lord, it was, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 100 years ago, because he lived to be, 900? You know, 7 years old. So, you know, he didn't say, well, you know, I remember 500 years ago. You know, it wasn't about that. It was about now. It's now. It's not, and this is the problem, you know, that a lot of people have, is they look at things, like even with husbands and wives and children and things like that. You know, I've seen children leave their homes, and they're upset, and some children never even talk to their parents again. I mean, you know, like the dad and the son might have had a, you know, and then they never talk again. What kind of relationship is that? You know, we shouldn't be upset with God because God maybe didn't answer a prayer. Or, you know, the eternal life is a present tense. Good morning, Father. How are you? I'm doing good. You know, if there's anything you want me to do today, just put it on my mind because I'm walking with you. You know, that's eternal life. It's not, well, you made a mistake 10 years ago, or, you know. And when you're covered under the blood of Christ, you don't look at your own sins. God don't look at them. So you don't look at your own sins. And don't look back and say, you know, I know I've repented 100 times on this thing, Lord, but, you know, help, you know, this would be 101. Forget it. It's done. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. Concentrate on your relationship with Him today. And so this morning, we're just going to look at, we're kind of closing down this unveiling about, this will be 203 in the series. And I want to focus on one word, one voice, one God. Now this morning, as we begin to close out this wonderful sermon of Brother Branham's, we will simply read a few paragraphs where Brother Branham is closing down while he's singing. I will put it up in a minute. And then he makes a wonderful statement in paragraph 192 that I wish to take our lesson from this morning. So these first few paragraphs, he's kind of closing down. They're singing, but then, you know, while he's singing, he interjects something, and then he sings and he interjects something. That's kind of the way Brother Branham closed out his services. So from 189, it says, don't it make you feel good? Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Isn't he then? let's shake hands with one another now and saying, Jesus breaks every fetter. You know, so he's singing, Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Oh, Jesus breaks every fetter. And then he says, oh, when he sets you free, I will ever, ever praise him, the mighty God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Just changed his form. I will ever, ever praise him. For he's, and then he took all the creeds away from me. Let me to believe his word. Oh, can't you hear the master's violin pulling the bow across his word? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will ever, ever praise him. I will ever, ever praise him. Him, the word. See? Ever, ever praise him. What he did, what did he do? For he set, behind the curtain, me free. Praise be to God, I love him. Don't you love him? Isn't this heavenly? I think that attributes of the word say just the Holy Spirit in that sweet, humble way. I just like that. Oh, just think, on the other side of Jordan, he's singing again, on the other side of Jordan, then he interjects, I'm nearing there now, in the sweet, immortal of Eden. What will I find there? Where the tree of life that's blooming in the garden, she's in the garden. There is rest for me. Long ago he breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. All denominations, all creeds. Jesus breaks every fetter. Oh, he sets you free. Then he says, praise be to God. I just love him. No wonder Isaiah said he's the counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. See how he starts talking and all of a sudden uses the word wonderful. Oh, right there. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, the mighty God is he. Oh, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh my, that just thrills my heart, how wonderful he is. I tell you, there's no end to this at all. I come into this 33 years ago feeling this way. And if he tarries one day, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going out in the same way. Amen. Wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, my Prince of Peace. Mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise his name. Now, in paragraph 92, he says, I could stay here the rest of the day in that. Paul said, if I sing, I'll sing in the Spirit. If I preach, I'll preach in the Spirit. If I walk, I'll walk in the Spirit. And if I talk, I'll talk in the Spirit. Let everything be done by the Word and the Spirit. Yes, sir, amen. It's all God's truth. I see him, the mighty God unveiled. I see him pull back the creeds, the denominations, pull back the skeptics, the educational programs and everything. Walk forward, stand there. You think the creeds could conquer him? You think the denominations could conquer him? You think the World Council can conquer him? He conquered everything, broke every fetter, ripped open hell, tore off the seal, entered into the holiest of holies, unveiled himself to us, being the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love him. Now, let me just read what he quotes one more time, because this is where we're going to focus our thoughts on this morning. Now, Paul said, if I sing, I'll sing in the Spirit. And if I preach, I'll preach in the Spirit. And if I walk, I'll walk in the Spirit. And if I talk, I'll talk in the Spirit. Let everything be done by the Word and by the Spirit. Because remember, when we worship God, we worship him in spirit and truth. And you can't leave that out. Now, that is the most beautiful thought, and that fits perfectly with what Brother Brown taught us in John 14:12, where he said basically the same thing. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then you will have the nature of Christ. And then you will speak like Christ, and you will walk like Christ, and you will do the works that Christ did. Now, from the message, you must be born again. He says, when you're born again, God vindicates you. Oh. I thought God only vindicates the prophet. No, he vindicates you. He vindicates your Christian walk. He vindicates your Christian thoughts. He vindicates your Christian talk. All right? That's how God vindicates all of his nature. What? By their fruits. That's the way he vindicates his ministry. That's right. All of his servants are vindicated the same way he vindicates nature. How do you know it's a peach tree? Because it brings peaches. How do you know it's an apple tree? It's bearing apples. How do you know it's a Christian? Christian signs bear from it. Christian life comes out of it. How do you know he's a teacher? The word comes from him. How do you know he's a prophet? The word comes through him, bears record, vindication. It proves it. How does it become that? when it dies and becomes one. That's right. When we die and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, it gets us with our calling. We stay with our calling. The fruits of the Spirit follow us when we are His servants. When we are born again, the fruits of Christ's life follows us. That's right. How do you know it's a peach tree? It's got peaches. How do you know he's a Christian? He acts like Christ. He walks like Christ. He talks like Christ. He lives like Christ. Above sin, victorious. What does he do? Say, see what I done? Christ didn't do that. He gave all praise to the Father. You see, God may have done things for you along your path as a growing up in Christ. And he may have put it on your heart to pray to stop a storm or do this and that and the other. But you should never say, I stopped that storm. You didn't stop nothing. You didn't stop nothing. You can't stop nothing. Like Brother Bram said, when he shows me a vision, I lay hands and say, thus saith the Lord. He said, can you imagine if I said, thus saith William Branham? Nothing would happen. It's got to be, thus saith the Lord. It's got to be God. If God is not in it, then what are we doing? You don't need to walk with him like Enoch. You can just walk by yourself. You know, people think that they're God. They think they have power. We have no power. The Holy Ghost is the power. So how do you know he's a Christian? He acts like a Christian. He walks like a Christian. He talks like a Christian. He lives like a Christian, above sin and victorious. What does he do? And say, see what I done? Christ didn't do that. He gave all praise to the Father. That's right. That's how you know it. By their fruits you shall know them. What must, and verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God. See, sometimes when people think, well, I know a little bit more than this guy does, they don't know diddly squat. The more you know, the less you know that you know. It's just that real. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul said. And the closer you get with God, the humbler you become. Because you know you have nothing to do with it. And you know it's grace. And you know it's mercy. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said, and that's how he said it. We'll find out Brother Bram is referring over to 1 Corinthians 4:15, where the Apostle Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. You see, some people think, well, I pray in the Spirit, I'll sing in the Spirit, I'll talk in the Spirit, and then you know. No. It's not your own thinking. It's his thinking, his word. It's his will. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Because, brother and sister, you can be anointed with the genuine Spirit of God and be way off the Word and away from the will of God. Therefore, it is not just a matter of praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit and preaching in the Spirit, but as the Apostle Paul said, it must be done with an understanding, or it is in vain. Never forget when one of my first talks I had with my son-in-law. He was talking about when he was a little kid, before he could talk, that he would ramble off sentences and think, and he knew what he's saying, but nobody else did, because he wasn't using their language; he was using his baby language. And I thought, you know, that's the same as many Christians. They go to praying and they just kind of ramble because they're babies. But Brother Bradford, when you go to pray, it should be intelligent. You should have specific things that you're talking about. You know, there's nothing worse than for two people to have a conversation and one of them just ramble. It should be back and forth. And that's what prayer is. That's what conversation is. In fact, that is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2. Well, let me go back. And I'm afraid this is where so many are missing the mark today. They teach that you don't have to understand the Word of God. You just need to believe it. And yet God's vindicated prophet taught us that if you have the Holy Spirit, you will understand the message. Now, I only know of two people that Brother Branham told them when they said, he said, "You understand what I preached today?" They said, "No, Brother Branham, I don't." He said, "Well, that's okay. You just have to believe it." They were both teenagers. One was a young teenager. One was an older teenager. But they were teenagers. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. So how can you understand if you don't have the Holy Ghost? So what you have to do is believe unto. You see? You have to believe unto. Faith is not believing. Faith is a revelation. It is a manifestation of divine truth. All right? So, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Not spiritual with carnal, not carnal with carnal, spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, in other words, then, you cannot understand the message, which is the things of God, unless you are born again. Now, from divine healing, Brother Branson, may I, instead of him this morning, standing and quoting to this generation, for except a man be born again, he can't understand these things, the kingdom of God. As he said to Nicodemus of old, you can't understand it, you'll never understand it until God comes into your heart and you'll be a part of him. Then you'll say, yes, Lord, every bit of the word's inspired, I believe every bit of it, I believe it's the truth, and here I am, Lord, to walk in the light. As long as you're borderline out there, you can't believe it. You can't do it. May the Lord help you this morning to see the supernatural. Again from his sermon, contending for the faith, he says, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand it. It's a mystic, mythical thing until you're born again. Just like most people think, well, I'm walking with the Lord. You know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so I'm walking with the Lord, and they're walking in their imagination because it's not a reality. And with no understanding, it cannot be a reality. So God has to give us an understanding. First, when that understanding comes of his principles, his doctrine, and the understanding comes, then the next step is into reality. You know that he's with you. You know that you're talking to him. It's not just a hope-so. Most people have a hope-so. Most people's Christian walk is a hope-so. I'm hoping that I'm walking in the light. I'm hoping that I'm walking with him. But do you know that for certain? You see, because when you step into the reality of eternal life, when God puts his spirit, his life into you, the word becomes present tense to you, not past tense, not 50 years ago or 2,000 years ago. It becomes today. Not 10 years from now or 20 years from now, it becomes today. And you walk with him, you're hand in hand walking with him. All right? So, Brother Brown said, but it's a mythical thing until you're born again. There, the very life of God comes into you, everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes into you, and then you're a part of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God, and then you see as God sees. You believe as God believes. There you are. So when the word becomes a reality, when you have stepped into, when God's life has come into you, and you see the word today as God sees it. God doesn't care about your past. He wants to walk with you now. So we're not only looking at being led by the Spirit, but knowing or understanding what you are doing by the word. And as I quoted King David in the Psalm so many times, when he said in Psalm 103 and 7, in speaking of God, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So see that Moses had an understanding of the ways of God, but the children did not. They only saw God's actions, but did not understand his ways. And that is why they died in the wilderness. That is why they sinned, which means they missed the mark, because sin is unbelief. The Bible says sin because they believe not. John 16:9, have sinned because they believe not in me. That is why when you have a little child, I think of my youngest grandson, because he's at that 3-year-old stage. And I think of how you can correct him, you know, and for something that he did wrong, you can look him right in the eye, talk to him about it, and yes, I know, I love you, Papa, you know, and I love you, Daddy, or I love you, Mama, I love you, Grandma. And then go back and do it again, because it didn't get through, all right? It didn't get through, all right? Because there's no understanding there. You know, you talk about electricity and how it can kill you. They don't know how it can kill you unless they actually see somebody die. Then, oh yeah, that's why, you know, you try to teach your children that the fire place is hot. You know, the burner's hot. Don't touch it. And what do? They go up and touch it. Then they know. Oh, now we know what Dad meant by that. Well, that's what our life is with Christ. God allows you to fall down here and there, but he lifts you up as well. All right. Now, getting back to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And we read from the Amplified Version, then what am I to do? I will pray with my Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit will lead you to do one thing and your mind is there to check on the Spirit of God. No, that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is that we must do all things by the Word of God, and therefore no matter how much you feel that you are being led by the Spirit of God to do whatever it is that you're going to do, you need to check it with the Word to make sure that it's God's Spirit that is leading you. Because Satan can impersonate anything the Holy Ghost will present to you. He can impersonate the feelings that you have. He can impersonate that little talk. When you know the Holy Ghost is talking to you, he can impersonate anything. That's why Brother Bram said in paragraph 193, now, until we meet this afternoon, we want to do one thing, that is, take the name of Jesus Christ with you, or take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Oh, take it everywhere you go. He's still singing now. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. If the Satan tries to tempt you that you're not looking at the right thing, point him to the Word like Jesus. Brings you all right back to the Word. You're led by the Spirit of God, but you're checking it by the Word. You're praying in the Spirit, but you're checking it by the Word. You're singing a song, but you're checking it by the Word. He said, point him to the Word like Jesus did. See, amen. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Now, there are so many songs that were written by many good songwriters of the Protestant Reformation, but almost all of them were Trinitarians, as was Martin Luther and John and Charles Wesley, and therefore the songs that they spoke of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Many of those songs are still in use today, and I'm sure that some of them are even sung in message churches that should not be sung, or at least the words should be altered to fit the revelation of the Word of God in its fullness, as it has been given to us through God's vindicated prophet. That's why he says, when we sing with an understanding. When we preach with an understanding. Now, such songs as Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You know the song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, merciful and mighty, God, you know, God in three persons, blessed what? Trinity? See, the mind, the Word, it's planted there. it checks it and says, oh, there's something wrong there. It's a wrong revelation. Now, if you change the words like, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee, holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God is one person, not a trinity. Now you've made the change. Now you're singing with an understanding, right? Then you'll be singing with your understanding. Now, in a sermon, you must be born again. Brother Branham was speaking of St. Martin in the Third Church Age as the Third Church Age messenger. And he said, Martin said Satan appeared to him one time, great golden crown on, three or four decks of stars in it like that, glistening and beautiful, great big fellow, nice, handsome, correctly combed and groomed, and a great, beautiful robe on. His shoes on his feet was gold. Walked out and said, Martin, do you know me? Now, people that don't see visions, this might not, well, you might not understand it, see? But how things come to you in different spirits and how deceiving they are. The Bible says that they would deceive the very elected if it was possible. See, the elected, that's those who are predestinated and born for that purpose. See, so he come to this elected. He said, Martin, do you know me? Do you know me? I'm Christ. He said, will you recognize me? And Martin hesitated. Seems strange. He waited a minute. He said, don't you see me? I am Christ. Do you recognize me? And he said it three or four times to him. And Martin said, Satan, I know you. My Lord is not crowned yet, but the saints shall crown him. There is that word coming back. That's where the Roman church got so much dogma and evil spirits coming in contrary to the word, and they had to deny the word to take their dogma and get away from the Bible. You see? That's where people had to deny the word, John 14:12, to hold to their little doctrine. That's where people have to deny the word of God to get rid of a fivefold ministry. He says, stay with the word. That's the string of life today. There'll be spirits rise after a while that'll deceive everything nearly. The Bible says, so as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will these men of reprobate minds concerning the truth. Perform miracles and do all kinds of signs, but stay with the word. The word of the Lord came to the prophet, and they brought it forth and believed the prophets. Notice, yes, I said, I know you, Satan. Said, my Lord is not a big man like that. My Lord went away with a rugged old garment on, with nail scars in his hands, uncrowned with bloody locks. And when he returns, he'll come like that. For the Bible said, he will return in the like manner as he went. Huh? And the thing vanished from him. So he recognized there was a scene change here. Just a minute. Now when Jesus died and rose again, he had the nail scars in his hands. He had on the old garment that he was buried in. This guy sitting before me has got a beautiful gold crown, gold slippers, you know, all embroidered like the Catholic Church would be. He's trying to tell me he's Jesus when he said he would return in the same manner that he left. He knew his word. From his sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Bram said, I want to show you how deceiving the devil is. One day he was sitting in a study, up come a mighty angel, crowned with his head, golden shoes on, lace around his garment of gold, and said, Martin, do you know me? He said, I am your Lord and Savior. I'm the one that saved you. Worship me, Martin. That prophet, knowing there was a little something strange there, he kept looking at him. He said, Martin, I am your Savior, Jesus Christ. Worship me. Don't you know me, Martin? Martin kept looking at him. The scripture running through his mind. He says, Satan, get away from me. He said, you got a crown on your head, and the word of God says his saints will crown him at the end of the age. Wouldn't that have been Pentecostal bait? Watch that word, brother. That's where it pays. And that's my advice to everyone in this message or who claims to believe this message. That is why when Brother Vail was sick with cancer and the advice that he was getting was that meat actually feeds the cancer cells, and so someone started a doctrine that you couldn't eat meat. But I always brought Brother Vail meat dishes and he ate them, and in fact he loved Chinese food, and he even said that if he could find a good source of Amish raised chicken, he would eat it. Even his last meal, Brother Justin brought it to him, was Alaskan salmon. But someone started this doctrine that in the end time, the meat would be so polluted that you should not eat it. Now, I know someone quoted Brother Branham about how that they were injecting the animals with bad stuff. But Brother Branham said, what can you do? Sanctify it with the Word of God in prayer. See, that's just, he went back to the Scripture. Not cancel culture. Now we're going to cancel meat because it's poisoned. And I said to Brother Vail, I don't care if all the meat in the world was poisoned. I would at least eat a small amount each week to avoid being branded as what Paul said in the end time, they would depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of devils like abstaining from meat. I would not want to place myself in that scripture as one who is an unbeliever who has departed from the faith because I'm not eating meat. Keep the spirits away. Eat some meat. Okay? Anyway, I'm not getting off into that. I'm trying to give illustrations, okay, of staying with the Word. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. What did the Word say about it? We know the Catholic Church is not... They do that every Lent season. And they also have their priests abstain from marriage as well. But I would rather die from eating poisoned meat than to die as one who abstains from meat, because then I would die as one who had fallen for the doctrine of devils. And brother and sister, you've got to know the Word of God and use it like Jesus did when the same devil tempted him with bread and with throwing himself off the top of the temple and claiming the angels would bear him up. But Jesus rebuked him with the Word. Jesus said, it is also written. And brothers and sisters, you have got to know the Word of God and use it like Jesus did when the same devil tempted him with bread and was throwing himself off the top of the temple and claiming the angels would bear him up. But Jesus rebuked him with the Word. When Satan gives him scripture, he said, it's also written. There's more scripture than just what you gave me. There's other quotes than what, you know, other quotes from Brother Branham than what you gave me. See? Now that reminds me of a story I read in a book years ago. The story was in a book entitled The Devil in the Church and His Snares Laid to Destroy Our Public Schools, copyright 1902. I've got the book back here. The article was called Enough Scripture to Poison a Parish. And the story goes like this. A little girl being asked by the priest to attend his religious instruction, she refused, saying it was against her father's wishes. And the priest said that she should obey him and not her father. Oh, sir, we are taught in the Bible, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, you have no business to read the Bible, said the priest. But, sir, our Savior said, search the Scriptures, John 5:39. That was only to the Jews, he says, and not the children. You don't understand it, said the priest in reply. But, sir, Paul and Timothy said, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:15. Oh, said the priest, Timothy was being trained to be a bishop and taught by the authorities of the church. Oh, no, sir, said the child. He was taught by his mother and his grandmother. On this, the priest turned her away, saying that she knew enough of the Bible to poison the whole parish. Do your children know the Bible? They should, because they go to public school. Some of them are young enough not to be in school yet. But listen, when they get there, do you ask them, what did you learn today? What did they teach you? Or you just say, go to your room and play. Put on the little thing and do your thing. You should find out what your children are learning and then correct what they've learned. Because they're being indoctrinated every day about this green stuff and all this other garbage that, you know, you can choose your own sexual gender and everything else. Stop it in the bud and find out what they're learning. Quiz your kids every day. I want to know what you learned today. Now, in this hour where some want to do away with the fivefold ministry, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you had better know the Word of God or you will fall hook, line, and sinker for that false teaching. It is a false teaching. Because God put it in the Bible. Show me where he took it out. 2 Timothy 4:1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach. Preach the word. Does that no longer apply? Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. How do you reprove? No. Words. Rebuke. Words, not exhort. What's exhort mean? To speak up. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now what is that saying? The people have the itching ears, and so they'll get themselves somebody that will tell them what they want to hear.
and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. He said, but watch thou in all things. Watch what things? Watch that word, brother. As we quoted from Brother Branham in the Anointed Ones at the end time, he said, wouldn't that have been Pentecostal bait? Watch that word, brother. That's where it pays. And from Unveiling of God, he said, if the Satan tries to tempt you that you're not looking at the right thing, point him to the word like Jesus did. You know, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, this is the age of cancel culture. And I showed you that that spirit is the same in the Catholic Church as it is in the communist community. And Brother Branham said it is a spirit. And we see that cancel culture right among us, where they want to cancel out a fivefold ministry. That's cancel culture. They don't realize they have that same spirit that's in the Catholic Church, in communism. Now, I'm sorry, but I can show you where God placed the fivefold ministry in the church, but you can't show me where He ever took it out. He placed it in Ephesians chapter 4. And God has given to the church five gifts: apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, etc., for the perfecting of the saints. And to add one word, you get the plagues. But to take away from God's word, your name will be removed from the book of life. It doesn't matter who it is. Paul said, even if I do it, I'm cursed. You people out there that are trying to remove the fivefold ministry had better watch your step, or your cancel culture will come back upon you as Naaman's noose that he made for Mordecai came back upon him, and he ended up being hung on his own gallows. And your cancel culture will ultimately cancel your own name out of the book of life. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. They say the same thing. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's all about the spoken word. And the spoken word isn't not just about one man speaking that word. It's about the Spirit and the Bride. And that man happens to fall in the Bride. He will speak it. And if you are in the Bride, you will speak it. And brother, you have to really pervert the Scripture to change the ministry of the fivefold from preaching to just pushing a button. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, and the Spirit and the Bride play. It says, he says and she says what he says. And the gospel said, preach the gospel. Nowhere does the gospel say that you just got to listen with your ears. Oh, I know that faith cometh by hearing, but I showed you last week that just to hear without an understanding shows you don't understand what you hear. It's just a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And as Brother Branham said, they think they got the Holy Ghost by believing. But Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, if you believe that you only have to listen to tapes to make the rapture, my guess is that you haven't studied the message and the Bible, because in order to understand it, you have to speak it first. Years ago, about 30 years ago, I did a sermon and I showed you there's 8 things that take place when there's communication. First of all, the person that wants to communicate a thought, he has to actually think that thought in his mind. Then he has to form that thought into words to express it. Then he has to speak those words to express. Then the person hearing has to hear those words, has to break down those words in his mind. And then he has to conjecture what he's saying. All right? Now, if any of those steps the devil gets involved in, and it's all based on communication. I could bring in here a professor of astrophysics or whatever, and he could give you a lecture, and 100% of us would have no clue what he's talking about. We might understand one word here and one word there, and that's about it. So, understanding is based on Communication based on understanding. So if the one speaking has an idea, and he formulates that into words, then speaks it from his mouth, and the person hears it with his ears, if he doesn't have the same understanding, those words that he heard will mean something different than what he said. You understand? So if you're not talking the word, if you don't hear it and then repeat it, you'll never be able to gauge whether you believe it or not. You'll have no clue whether you really believe what is being said because you have no understanding. Because, you see, it's a living word. And it has to come from your lips, your own lips, in order for it to come alive to you and in you. You hear it and then speak what you hear, and then you live what you speak. That is what the gospel teaches. In 1 John 5 and 10, he says, "He that believeth on the Son of God," that's, see, believing, "echoes the witness in himself." So he's got the same understanding because he's got the Holy Ghost, as the one who's speaking the word is the Holy Ghost. You see? Like Brother Brown said, you know, he that wrote the word, he that gave the promise is here to complete it. You've got to have the Holy Ghost in order to understand the Word of God. See? "He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself." So first you have to echo the Word inside. In other words, you hear it, you break down that sentence into an understandable message, and then you echo that. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And once you have echoed the word in you, then you will echo it out of you, for your cup will overflow, and the rivers of living water, which is the word of God, it floweth freely. You see, this is the age of muzzling the people. Muzzle the fivefold. Muzzle the people. Make them wear a mask. Muzzle the fivefold. They don't get to preach. It's all about control. And it's a spirit of hell. And people don't realize they're anointed by the devil and they don't even know it. Once you have echoed the word in you, then you will echo it out of you. For your cup overflows. Okay? Then John says, "He that echoes the Son." What is an echo? It's saying back the same words that were said with the same inflection, the same spirit, the same anointing. "He that echoes the Son," what does he do? He echoes life. Because the word has become a reality to you. Not only are you speaking it, "He that echoes the Son." He that says the same thing the Son says with the same spirit, the same nature, ends up echoing life. "And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life." So if you're not talking it, it has not become life to you, and you are only believing unto. And this is where the majority of people sit today. They're believing unto. "I believe God sent a prophet." Wonderful. But what did he say? From what the Holy Ghost was given for, Brother Branson, now, let's finish John 14, 12. Now, in the 14th chapter, 12th verse, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, and you cannot believe on me, you cannot believe unto him." How many understands that? Say amen. Notice, let me just read this again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," and Brother Branson, "you cannot believe unto him." How many understands this? Amen. You remember in Acts 19, I hate to stop this here, but I just have to say this as it comes to me. In Acts, the 19th chapter, when this Baptist preacher, which is a lawyer, and was converted, and he was preaching and getting people saved, and they had great joy, just rejoicing and shouting and having a meeting, Acts 18, Will and Priscilla, we referred to it last meeting. They had went to see him, and they know he was a great man, and he was a student. And he was proving by the Bible that Jesus was the Son of God, only knowing the baptism of John. He didn't know the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. He said, "Aquila and Priscilla, that husband and wife, little tent makers," which Paul was a tent maker too, and they'd received the Holy Ghost under Paul's teaching, they said, we've got a little brother that's coming up here. Let him talk to us a little bit about it. And when Paul came up and heard him preach, note he was a great man, he said, how have you received the Holy Ghost? Or excuse me, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, well, we know not whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, then what? And the real Greek word says, how? How was you baptized? And they said, well, we've been baptized already by John the Baptist. Now, watch what Paul said. Paul said that John verily baptized unto repentance, not for remission of sins, but unto repentance. Same. That's what you believe when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. You're believing unto the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my dear Baptist brethren. It is wrong. I'm going to read that again. You're believing unto the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but believing unto the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not the same thing as being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then Brother Brown makes a comparison, another one. He says, when a baby is conceived, it's still not born. When you're justified by receiving Christ as your personal Savior, you're still not born as a son of God yet. You're believing unto. You see, like a baby in the womb. And he said, and something can happen along the way to cause that baby to never be born. From question and answer, he said, now before you receive the Holy Ghost, you are believing unto eternal life. But you do not have eternal life until you receive the Holy Ghost, because it is eternal life. The Holy Ghost is God. It's God's life in you. Then you got eternal life. Do you understand that now? See? Look. See? You're believing unto. Now, wait, here's a good one, a good thing. You women, excuse me for this if it sounds too flat, so you to make a point. But a mother, it's life, but still that baby isn't born. But if you treat that baby right and follow the rules of nature, that baby will be born normally. But if you don't apply everything to the rules of nature, in other words, you just don't get pregnant and have no understanding about what's going on. But if you don't apply everything to the rules of nature, you let a hard bruise or a hit or something take place, it's going to ruin it. See? It'll kill the baby before it's born. Same way with a person who comes to the Word and they open their heart to the Lord Jesus and they receive Him as their Savior, but they're still not born again. And if they don't have certain rules to live by, you go from justification into sanctification. You're cleansing the vessel, getting it ready. Then God will put His Holy Spirit in a holy vessel. He won't put His Holy Spirit in an unholy vessel. See, what the Holy Ghost is given for, Brother Branham said to me, a brother said to me the other day, Brother Branham, or some time ago, a month ago, he said, Brother Branham, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness. I said, truly. He said, well, what more can a man do than believe? I said, well, that's all a man can do. That's all he can do today is believe God. But God gave him a seal, a circumcision that he went through last night as a sign that he had accepted him in faith. And today, until God, now you believe unto him when you accept him as your personal Savior. But when God gives you the seal of the Holy Ghost, he sealed you to your eternal destination. Now you Baptists take that. And I'll go with you on eternal security, yes, sir, because grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. You are not sealed by believing unto, but sealed by the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. That seals you when you found favor with God, and He seals you by the Holy Spirit. That's so, for the Bible said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Now, from five identifications, he said, now, did you know? You say, well, Brother Brown, I believe. Well, listen, and I've never received the Holy Ghost. No, you don't believe yet. You are just believing unto belief. That's a good one. You have hope. So you see, that is those people that Jesus spoke about who heard the word gladly, and they received it with joy, but then something happened. Matthew 13:18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and, what? Understandeth it not. They hear it, and with joy, and receive what they hear, but they don't understand it. Then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in their heart. Now listen. He said it was sown in their heart. It was a heartfelt listening. They heard it with their ears, but they did not understand what they heard. And he tells us they did not understand what they heard, although they received what they heard in their heart. How many times as a pastor I've heard people say they believe it with all their heart and then leave the word sometime later. Why? They never understood what they thought they were believing. I had a young man come to me one time. He said, "Oh, I've believed all my whole life that I'm God's elect seed, his gene seed. But what I heard you preaching today, you're telling me that I'm not even born again. I'm lost. And I said, "Well, brother," I said, "you could have the gene seed there, but it's never been quickened. It's still dead. You understand? Until that baby in the mother's womb is actually born, it's not born yet. There's not a birth there. It has to come through the process. There's got to be a protection of that seed in the mother's womb. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word," okay, "and anon with joy receives." Oh, man, I've never heard preaching like that in my life. "Yet hath he no root in himself," no understanding. "But he dureth for a while. For when time of tribulation or persecution arises because of what he heard, the word, by and by he's offended." "Yeah, I never believed that to begin with." Oh, that's right. You never did. Why is he offended? Because he never understood what he heard. He believed it in his heart. He received it in his heart. But really had no clue what it was that he was even believing or claiming to believe. "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches." Notice what the cares of this world will do. He said it chokes the word. And as a result, he, the person, becomes unfruitful. In other words, you let the things of this world have the preeminence when you could be listening to a tape. You're doing whatever you want to do. You're out shopping, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're focused on other things. You're fighting getting down in prayer. The world's got its pull. It chokes the word, and the man, the person, becomes unfruitful. Now, what does that mean, he becomes unfruitful? When Jesus said, "By the fruits you'll know them," and if there's no fruit, there's no life. Jesus went to grab fruit off of a tree. There's no fruit. He cursed it. It came back and it withered away, finished its death cycle. "By their fruits you'll know them. If no fruit, there's no life. But believing unto and not born yet, like the stillborn baby." Now, verse 23. "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, or some 30. What brings forth the fruit? Because they understood the word. How does he bring forth more than what he is? Because he echoes it, he preaches it, he lives it, and others are born from the words of his mouth and from the sermon that he lived. In the church age book, Brother Bram said, Smyrna church age, he said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak, not play, speak what the messenger has spoken. And that's the problem. And I can understand people saying, you know, listen to the tapes, listen to the tapes. You should be listening to the tapes. We do it every Wednesday night. You should be listening to the tapes. We should do it every day as individuals. It'd be hard for the people to come every night to have service and listen to the tapes. But you should be doing it in your homes. The problem with this message, the problem I see in all of Christianity, but especially in this message, because we should know better, is that people don't study for themselves. They're dependent on the pastor. I had one sister tell me, and her father was a deacon at the time. She said, my parents never talk the word at home. And the only thing I know about God is what I've heard in church. And I thought, what a situation that is. You should be teaching your children from the time that they're still in the womb, talking to them. Teaching them the principles of the word. Sowing, reaping. That's a principle of the word. Justification, sanctification, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, getting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be teaching your children these things. Otherwise, you send them to school, and what do? They get indoctrinated. You should be indoctrinating your children with the word. Fortifying them with the word, like that little girl, she was standing the priest, who had 7 years of college. At least 7 years of college. And that little girl, she just twisted him up into a knot. Why? She had the word. See? Now, it seems that he's saying, and the light comes first to the messenger of the hour, and then from there it goes out through others, a fivefold ministry where the others say what he says. But then he says, not all have learned to let their own thinking go, and so they don't say what was said. And that is the case with those who are saying that you just have to listen to a tape to make it. They are not saying what the prophet said. And they're not saying what the apostle Paul said. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Now look, I'm not against playing the tapes. We do it every Wednesday. But it is not necessary. You should all be listening to the word of God daily, as far as I'm concerned. But it's not necessary to throw out a fivefold ministry just because some do not say it like the prophet said. Those people eventually get found out, and the people will leave and find someone who is more true to the message, and so the circle of life continues. But to break up churches and tell people they do not need a fivefold ministry and that they can be perfected by listening to the tapes themselves is contrary to what the Apostle Paul and William Branham both taught. And Paul warned us to say what he said, and so did William Branham, the same as Paul. William Branham commanded us to say what is on the tapes, not play what is on the tapes. I looked it up. You can't find it where it says play what's on the tapes. But he did say what's on the tapes. From paragraph 93 of trying to do God a service without it being his will, Brother Branham is quoting Moses, and he said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught of it. Don't add one thing to it, and don't take one thing from it. Stay, just say what it says, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And from God of Simplicity, Brother Branham said, now, why can't people believe the simple simplicity of a humble bunch of people, see, and the voice of the signs of God? Why can't they believe it? Just like it's always been. The true word of God being made manifest is they're too smart and too educated to believe the simple form of the written word. They want to put their own interpretation to it. It don't mean this, it don't mean that. See, it does mean that. Listen, I may say this right quick. Even the visions that God gives me at the place is so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me on the tape say what the tapes say what the visions say. Now, as I said, if a congregation only wants to listen to the tapes, that's up to that congregation. That is their choice, but then don't draw everyone out of your circle as though you are rapture material and no one else is. Brother Branham said in a sermon, Christ revealed in his own word, he said, I'm responsible for what kind of food I feed these people. This is for the tabernacle only, see? Now, if the people want to listen to the tapes, that's up to them. So if the Branham tabernacle wants to listen to tapes, that's their business. But that should not be pushed on the rest of the world. And then if you have a preacher that actually preaches, you want to cancel the rapture for him? And just shows what kind of cancel culture you have out there. I get emails, brothers, and when I go to these meetings, like when I was in Gabon last time, I had ministers come up and say, you know, people are leaving our churches. They're just staying home, and I got emails from all over Africa. You know, our churches, you know, are losing people because they're just staying home, listening to tapes.
They think they're going to make it that way. And then what happens to people? Oh, at first, yeah, every Sunday, Wednesday night, very faithful, they listen. And then, well, you know what? We're going to go for a picnic, so we'll just listen while we're driving down the road. Yeah. That's real dedicated, isn't it? Well, then it gets to be, well, you know what? We're going over to visit Sally or Joe or John or whatever, and we'll just listen to it when we get back home. Yeah. Pretty soon, the discipline is gone from your Christian walk. What's the next thing to go? Well, you know what? The guy gave me $10 too much change, but you know what? It's all right. You know, these companies make too much money anyway. Yeah, pretty soon you're compromising everything. That's right. In fact, you will find in almost 100% of all churches or all groups of people who are tied to a doctrine, the people that are carnal become exclusive with their doctrine and teach that if you don't see it, things like they see it, then you're not going to make it. When anybody says that to you, they're carnal. Period. That's just carnal. That is what the Apostle Paul called it, as well as we see, and we'll get to that in just a minute. I'm going to read you a quote first. But the world has gotten off and gotten so formal and indifferent, Brother Brown says, from testimony and inside life, till they just had their own set ways, their own rituals, their own creeds, and so forth. And if you don't come right up to that, you're not in it. You know, you go from one church to the next, and they their song services are different. They some sing the old-fashioned songs, some sing, you know, the more modern songs. But, you know, some will have certain instruments up there, and some won't have instruments up there. And if you're carnal, you go to that church, you visit that church, you say, well, wait a minute, they're not doing it like us, they're wrong. Well, right there, you're carnal. Right there, your eyes are on vessels. Their own cases, until they had just their own set of ways, their own rituals, their own creeds, and so forth. And if you don't come right up to that, well, you're not in it. See, that's the way the churches are today. You got to come up and look through my glasses, or you don't see it all. See, now God doesn't limit Himself to any church. No, He doesn't. Remember when the disciples got to thinking one time that they were the only ones, Jesus, the very next day sent out 70 others. You catch that? He had the 12 with him. They got to thinking, you know, well, when we get to the other side, I want to be in your right hand. You know, they got really puffed up, and then the next day, what does he do? He grabs 70 other people, sends them out. Kind of replacing the 12. Well, he didn't replace them, but he let them know that, hey, I've got others too. They came and said, well, Jesus, you know, these guys are preaching and they're baptizing your name and everything else. We commanded them not to do it. He said, who do you think you are? If they're not against us, they're for us. That's the way churches are today. You've got the right to come up and look through my glass or you don't see it all. God doesn't limit himself to any church. Now remember when his disciples got thinking one time that they were the only ones, Jesus, the next day, sent out 70 others. Is that right? God never wants anyone to build anything around themselves. All glory goes to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, so we mustn't try to think of ourselves or our church. We must spread out our arms and look for God. That's right. And I hate that spirit. And I remember early on in Congo, DRC, they got to where they were having minister meetings to discuss the doctrine among the ministers. And so they chose out a brother who was the eldest among them to kind of lead the meetings. But then he got the idea that he was not, you know, he was now over the ministers. And he got a bit lofty. And I had trained him in the doctrine. But when I began to work with another brother in the country and was asked by this brother if I would come and have a follow-up meeting with him in his city, the lofty fellow got a bit irritated, and his henchman wrote me a nasty letter. Not so nice letter. That said, brother so and so was the oldest, and he was, and his brother wrote the letter. He said, "I'm the second oldest, and brother so and so is the third oldest, and so we're not permitting anyone to hold meetings in our country without our permission."
He's got to come through us. And I didn't say drop dead, but I wanted to. Like Peter said, that, you know, when Simon Sorcerer came, he said, to hell with you and your money. And you know me, I'm a little bit like Levell, a little bit like the Apostle Paul. Didn't stand too well with me. And so I told them where they can get off. And I basically said, we're through. And you guys are trying to take the presence and the Godhead and make it into a denomination. I'll have none of it. None of it. So I don't care what doctrine you teach. If you point anyone to anything other than Jesus Christ, you have left the gospel as far as I'm concerned. You're carnal. And the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither now are you yet able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, well, I'm of Paul. You know, he was the messenger of the age. I'm of Paul. Another said, well, I'm of Apollos, the teacher. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything. See, William Branham, he was the one that planted. Levell, that he was the one that taught. He says, so that neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. If you got your eyes on William Branham, you're carnal. If you got your eyes on Levell, you're carnal. It's all about God. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which has been laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. And just as I've shown you that William Branham was a voice that God used, yet that voice of God is God's word. It's not William Branham's voice. From seashell, not be air with a shuck, he said, what is the voice of God? It is the word of God. What's any man's voice but his word? It's the word of God. They'll hear the word of God. It doesn't matter what vessel they hear it from. It's the word is the word is the word. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. If I have a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old or a 100-year-old speak the word of God to me, I hear it as the word of God. Doesn't matter what vessel. And William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said, when God gave him a vision, he could not say, thus saith William Branham, because then God would not be obligated to bring it to pass. It had to be what God said. From paradox, he said, and he's crippled. He said, Brother Branham, if you would just tell me that I can walk out of here, that's all I want to do. See? And I just thought, well, how lovely. See? But see, these things are a little different than what you think they are. See? Now, that's where I think many of the brethren gets off track. See? God will let them do something with a little faith. Then they feel that everything they bounce into, they just say it, and that's all. Now, I had, you know, just people say, well, I stopped this storm, or I caused this to rain. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do squat. God did it. God might have given you a little faith to stand there and speak the words. Doesn't mean you can do it every time that you feel like you want to do it. You got to be careful. Then they feel that everything will bounce into just what they say, and that's all. But you see, how can I say, thus saith the Lord, until he tells me first? I've got to have it first. If he didn't, I say, thus saith William Branham, but that wouldn't do anything good, or any good. But see now, he's got to tell me first. Who came down with a shout? Did William Branham? God. That's the problem in a nutshell. People are looking at the vessel, and because they see God use the vessel, they want to make that vessel God. And to do that, and to do so, that is so very, very wrong. And they want to make that man infallible when he is just a man and a vessel that God used. From hear ye him, Brother Branham said, then the word of God, which is infallible, proves that Jesus Christ didn't heal nobody until God showed him a vision on what to do. Find one place in the Bible where a prophet ever did anything without God showing him what to do. It's not man, it's God. Even God didn't recognize the flesh of his own son to give him free will for whatever he did. He did just as the Father told him. And from his sermon, A Guide, he said, that was God's policy. That's the way what was laid down. That's his program. He can't change from it because he's infinite. Amen. He can't change from it. He's God. I can change. I'm a man. You can change. You're a man or woman. But God cannot change. I'm finite. I can make mistakes and say things wrong. All of us can. But God can't and be God. His first is that, see, this is the problem. Because people hold that and say, well, Brother Branham couldn't make mistakes. Yes, he could. He just said so. Well, Evel couldn't make a mistake. He's a fivefold minister, a true fivefold minister, can't say something wrong. Yes, they can't. They're human. I can make mistakes. You can make mistakes. A vindicated prophet of God can make mistakes. But the Word can't. The Word can't. I can say a wrong time. Or, you know, in my memory of retelling a story, I could mix two stories together and give you a wrong time. That's the human part. I can say 700 instead of 7,000. That's the human frailty. But God's word doesn't change. He said, I'm finite. I can make mistakes and say things wrong. All of us can, but God can't and be God. His first decision is perfect. The way God acts on the scene, that's the way he's got to act every time. If he's called on the scene to save a sinner, he saves him on the basis of one thing. The next time a sinner comes, he's got to act the same way, or he acted wrong when he acted the first time. Amen. I love him. I know it's the truth. And from spoken words, original seed, he said, and remember, Christian friends, I'm a man. I can make mistakes, but God being God cannot make mistakes. All the words that's been written must be fulfilled. Jesus said so. So we've got things here in the Scripture that must be fulfilled, and that is one thing, that is one of the things, this boycott to come. But before this boycott can come, and the marking of the beast, there's got to be a seed sowed for God to take a church out of it. You understand now? A seed has to be sowed, a denominational seed there, and to make a form or an image to the beast, the Church of Rome, and there has to be a true bride. So there's seeds going out. One of them is true. From Church Age book, he said this morning in Church Age, remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or thinks himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? They add here, they take away there. Soon the message is no longer pure. And the revival dives down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. Now, is that the voice of William Branham? That's my question. Or is it the word that he spoke? When Brother Branham said, I love cherry pie, my wife loves apple pie, I was saying God loves cherry pie. You see, you got to be able to understand when the word is being spoken and when it's just like, you know, good evening, friends. You know, welcome, you know. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did it likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then to say, not play, and then to say what he has been given them to say to the churches. Now, back to Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So just say what the prophets said. And don't put your interpretation to it, and you'll be okay. from the Church Age book, Smyrna Church Age. He said, when God is silent, we had better be silent. And where he has spoken, we had better speak too. Doesn't say anything here about pushing something, button to make. We had better speak too and say what he's already said. He told us the evidence, or what would happen after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, was that we would have the teacher come and teach all truth. But that teacher was an inside teacher, not an outside teacher. If the Spirit wasn't inside, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation if you heard it every moment of the day. So you could hear it. In other words, you could be playing tapes every moment of the day. But if that inside teacher is not there, I'm sorry. It's not going to do you any good. It's like water off a duck. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the word, received it, and lived it. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal man or men, put a wrong interpretation on it, and went into sin. Now, if you claim to believe what the prophet taught, then you will live what the prophet taught. And if you teach the doctrine of Christ and don't live the doctrine of Christ, then I have a right to doubt your confession. And believe me, the Bible has a whole lot to say about what you confess. And if you do not say what was said, then you have no confession, and then you have no fruits either. From the Church Age book, remember, Jesus said, "If he that confesses me before man, I will confess him before my Father." The word confess means to say the same thing. To say, not play. To say the same thing. If you say the same thing that he said, he'll say the same thing to the Father for you. Now, it's running Church Age. In every age, and every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer, I say in every age the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and taught it, revealed it to them. And they were of the group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it. Okay? They lived a sermon. Brother Bram said in his Church Age book, Letters in Church Age, the attitude of this age, exactly what it was then, people have it all. They know it all. They cannot be taught. If a point of truth from the Word comes up and a man tries to explain his view to one with an opposing view, the listener is not at all listening that he might learn, but is listening only to refute what is being said. Now, I want to ask a fair question. Can Scripture fight Scripture? Does the Bible contradict the Bible? Can there be two doctrines of truth in the Word that say the opposite or oppose the other? No, it cannot be so. Yet how many of God's people have their eyes open to that truth? Not even 1%, as far as I know, have learned that all Scripture is given by God and all is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, etc. If all Scripture is thusly given, then every verse will dovetail if given a chance. But how many believe in predestination unto election and reprobation unto destruction? Those who don't, will they listen? No, they will not. Yet both are in the Word, and nothing will change it. But to learn about it and reconcile the truth of those doctrines with their truths that seem to oppose, they will not take the time. They call the parousia of God false doctrine, yet they've never taken the time to understand that Brother Branham preached 4,400 times the presence of the Lord. And the word parousia simply means presence. And Jesus spoke about it. Paul spoke about it. Peter spoke about it. John spoke about it. James spoke about it. It's a Bible doctrine. And yet they call it a false doctrine because they've never taken the time. They're too busy. He said they will not take the time, but they stop their ears and gnash their teeth, and they lose out. At the end of this age, a prophet will come, but they will be blind to all that he is doing and saying. They are so sure that they are right, and in their blindness, they will lose it all. Now, I just want to leave you with one thought. If you claim to be a Christian and do not live the life of Christ, then you are a hypocrite. If you say one thing and do another, you are a hypocrite. Brother Brown said in a sermon, Christ is a mystery. He said, and then the word moves on down into the body from the head. What is it? The same word. Nothing can be added or taken from it. So that same word moves from the head as the day comes close, down into the body, vindicating that they are one. Their husband and wife, their flesh of his flesh, word of his word, life of his life, and spirit of his spirit. Yes, see, amen. How do you know it? It bears the same record, the same fruits, the same word. See, manifest Christ, same life, same God, same spirit, same word, same book, amen, same signs, things that I do shall you do also, oh hallelujah, oh my. And from his sermon, we would see Jesus when Abraham tells us the reason John 14:12 is for everyone and what purpose it is for. He says, but now, while he's here working with his church in the form of the Spirit, then if his Spirit is with us, he will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. It'll make you act the same way. Because it's not your spirit anymore, it's his spirit in you. Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, he that believeth in me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. See, we'll do the same works, think the same thoughts, live the same type of life. If the Spirit of God is in you, it makes you to live like Christ, Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle, read of all men, Christ in you, reflecting his light out of you. As God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and reflecting God from his own body, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. God was in Christ, and what Christ's attitude was God's attitude, because the two work together, the spirit and the flesh united together. Now, let me read just one more quote before we close. Brother Branham said in his sermon, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, notice, if Jesus did these things in that day, and he has raised from the dead, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's obligated to his word. Now, his corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is here working through his sanctified vessels, plural. Notice this plural here. And God is set in the church first. Church what? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists, then pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. Now, how can you say that we don't need the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the church when the Apostle Paul said it and William Branham is clarifying it and saying that's true? God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches. It's God preaching through him. It's not the prophet that sees vision. It's God speaking through him. I do nothing except the Father show me first what to do. Therefore, if God has set these offices in the church, then to reject one of these offices, you reject God, no different than you would reject his prophet for the age. The prophet himself said, it's not the preacher that preaches, it's God preaching through him. It's not the prophet that sees the vision, it's God speaking through him. So if God is speaking through the prophet and preaching through the preacher, then it matters not what vessel God chooses. Both are the voice of God to the people. And since there is one Spirit and there is one Word, then there is one Word spoken through various vessels and is still the voice of God. And if God preaches through one and speaks through another, it is not a different voice, but it is the same voice of God regardless of the vessel. And it is just one voice, not a man's voice, but the voice of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your Word. And Lord, these words are definitive. And Lord, I know that there'll be many who do not believe these things, but they are thus saith the Lord. Your prophet spoke them, your scripture spoke them, and we just echoed what was spoken before. They don't want to say what the prophet said. They'd rather just play it. But to play it and to say it are two different things, or two different words that mean two different things. And if we don't say it, it's because we don't understand what was said. It's just that clear. So, Father, we ask you to give us your Holy Spirit, make sure that we have it, so that we will understand the things which were said, so that we can speak them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's just sing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.